Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Pharrell Coast to Coast in the biggest way possible right here on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Great to have you with us on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty. Go for the two. Joe Lisi joins me later on in the show. We have a lot to do today. It's a Golf Wednesday on C2C. The Stewarts hopefully will both be by. We've also got Davis Maddock today. Gabe back in the mix as he has finally gotten himself home. Coach Young for the Lions share. So a very big Wednesday to come on Coast to Coast. We will kick things off as always, though, with the birthday roll call. And I will say, happy Valentine's Day to all you lovers out there. Everybody who loves Valentine's Day, especially, of course, to my wife, my kids, et cetera, et cetera. And there's some really good birthdays on a Valentine's Day as well here on C2C. Let's roll. Tyler Clippard, the Yankee Clippard, 39. Marion Gaborik, 42. Richard Hamilton, 46. Tyus Edney, 51. Drew Bledsoe, former Buffalo Bill quarterback. Okay, fine. Former Patriot quarterback. 52 for Drew today. Lonnie Johnson, 53. George Murison, 53. Big George. Sean Hill, 54. Kelly Stinnett, 54. Roy Barker, 55. Jeff Graham, 55. Callie Johansson, 57. Peter Svoboda, hockey legends here, 58. Jeff Dellenbach, 61, and the best one of all on this list, Hall of Famer, number 12 in your program, number one in your hearts, Jim Kelly, 64 today. Happy birthday to Jim and everyone here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. All right, so we have a very, very, very busy Wednesday here. First, though, of course, we want to welcome in all the radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast. On a Wednesday, Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159 Sports Byline, and the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in sunny Southern California. Great to have everybody with us here today. First hour, we will start things off with the golf. It's a big golf weekend here. PGA is at the Genesis Invitational out at Riviera in Los Angeles. This is Tiger's tournament. That also means we have Tiger back in the mix. Tiger's playing this weekend for the first time since last year's Masters. So do the math there. About 10 months since we've seen Tiger competitively. We saw him at the Hero, of course, towards the end of last year. And look, I'm interested to see. We know the deal with Tiger since the accident 3 years ago. He goes out, you know, plays okay the first couple days, and then the weekend becomes a bit of a strain on him if he makes it there. He was hitting bombs yesterday, watching all those clips of him doing the practice round. He looked real sharp, got his new marketing effort going as well. So let's see if Tiger, with only 70 golfers here, there is a cut, though. 50 is the cut with ties and then within 10 shots of the lead. Like, there's a chance, like, even though there's a cut, like, only five guys get cut. It's really stupid. If you're going to have 70 golfers, don't have a cut. But it's Tiger's tournament. Tiger's playing. That adds a little something extra to this, along with all the best players on the PGA Tour. You can't really say in the world anymore, because now all the best players in the world are basically split between two golf tournaments. So we'll see what happens this weekend. Hopefully we'll get Cam in the mix. We'll do the picks with him. Either way, I'll give you my picks, the outrights, the top 10s, 20s, and 40s, and 30s, I should say, and the first round leader bombs. We'll get through all that. Gabe Morenci is back on C2C today. Of course, the voyage for him. Vegas came east here to do the Super Bowl show. I know he did Sports Rage here on Monday as well. And now he's back home, and we'll have Gabe cooking with us today on C2C. Davis Maddock is with us every day on Coast to Coast. We'll get him in hour number one. today as well. Hour number two, we'll start to get into some of the NBA from last night and a huge card for tonight. This is the last big night of NBA before they shut down for the All-Star break. There's three games tomorrow night, but this is the last full slate, tons of action. Celtics beat the Nets last night. They're going to play again tonight in Boston. Tatum had a huge night with 41. Thunder beat the Magic, ruined the party. Shaq, of course, getting the number retired. SGA said no thank you. SGA took care of business for the Thunder. Heat beat the Bucks. Bucks with a pathetic effort last night. I mean, that was sad out of Milwaukee. I really thought that they turned the corner a bit after a couple early, big wins earlier in the week. You know, even beating up on Charlotte. They had a couple games there. The Nuggets they beat up. But now, just an awful job last night against Miami. The Suns beat the Kings as well. 130-125. Up, up, up and away over that total for us. T-Wolves beat the Trailblazers late night. And the Lakers did beat the Pistons and cover out in Los Angeles. Did you see the Woj story today? That I love when we get these like a week after the trade deadline. Trade deadline was last Thursday. So it took us a week to unearth the story that the Warriors tried to get LeBron from the Lakers and that they were putting on the full court press trying to convince both LeBron and the team to make this deal. They were offering him all sorts of stuff, trying to convince LeBron to pair up with Steph, both of them make one last little run in their careers together possibly to win some more NBA championships. Well, obviously it didn't happen, but we'll gas everybody up a week later that it didn't happen, and now it's not going to happen. So why gas everyone up? Because why not? It's a story. Adam Silver says Vegas is an expansion candidate. You think so? You see how it was there last week? Of course they're an expansion candidate. Everybody should be in Vegas now. Everybody. We're halfway home. Got the Knights, got the Raiders. I guess we're like three quarters of the way. Even though nobody in Vegas wants the A's, they're going there, that's for sure. Also, Coach Young, hour number two, we'll do the Lions share with him. He's got a ton of NBA plays for you tonight, and then we'll go through the entire slate. Knicks are in Orlando tonight. We mentioned Brooklyn is going to be in Boston, back-to-back for them, home and home, we should say. Houston's in Memphis tonight. Indiana's in Toronto. Sacramento's in Denver. Detroit finishes that long road trip in Phoenix, Lakers in Utah, Clippers in Golden State. So a very good night of NBA ahead for us. Final hour, I've got some NFL for Joe today. Like we always say, we got to give Joe a little something of NFL each day. We've got some of Shanahan yesterday, some of Ayuk. They're having the big parade today in Kansas City. And they got good weather too, which was nice since the sun was shining on the Chiefs in their parade in Kansas City today. Kelsey calling, bumping into Reed. Unacceptable and yelling at him. You think so? Only took us a few days to sort that out. We'll have Keith Stewart from Read the Line in the final hour as well. He is out there in LA at the Genesis. We'll get his picks for this weekend. And then another big night of college hoops. Good games last night. Unfortunate for Indiana State. They go in the top 25 for the first time since 1978. And they promptly lose at home as 17.5 point favorites. Nice job. They'll be out of the top 25 next week. And then Ohio State lost to Wisconsin last night, and they just chopped head coach Chris Holtman. He is out there in Columbus. We've got some odds for the national title. We've got a ton of college basketball games tonight we have to get to. We have hockey tonight, three games, and a lot more. So Pharrell Coast to Coast, we get you cooking here on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty. We got Gopher to Two later on in the program. We'll come back and we will kick things off with Golf Wednesdays on C2C, the Genesis Riviera. Let's roll, baby. We're back after this on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back, Pharrell Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us. It is Golf Wednesdays. We're going to get to Cam Stewart in a moment. I will let you know, NFL breaking news, the 49ers chopped defensive coordinator Steve Wilks. So Shanahan, who sat there yesterday saying that he didn't anticipate making any changes, I guess either slept on it or had some bad eel last night, whatever happened to him. So now Wilkes is out in San Francisco. We will discuss this later when I get Gopher to do Joe Lisi back in here. Yeah. We'll get some thoughts on Wilkes. But I got Cam Stewart now, and I got a golf tournament this weekend out in Los Angeles at Riviera. And I got more tickets to hit, Cam. Cam, it's great to see you. As always, I missed you last week for the waste management. I didn't miss the tournament, though, Cam. Nick Taylor, first round leader, 90-1. Nick Taylor live at the beginning of the fourth round at 18-1 when Scheffler was on a heater. I love Canadian golfers, Cam. What a weekend in Arizona.
Dual citizen. And the Order of Canada goes to Mike Carver. Mike Carver, he's back. The Prime Minister has these abilities and powers. Nick, the dentist, Taylor, he could get a whole mouthful of gold teeth. How much money he's been winning lately. The guy didn't even hit a fairway and he won. That was one of the best scrambling jobs I've ever seen in a final round. He got up and down from anywhere, man. That guy's, man, he's got ice water in his veins. He's chill, that guy.
That guy can putt, Cam. I mean, there's some guys who can putt, and they're great everywhere else, like you said. That guy can't do, but he can putt, Nick Taylor. Yeah. That's one thing that he's got in the bag that is absolutely outstanding. So we celebrate a win there, but we got to get right back at it. Tigers tournament, the Genesis Invitational, only 70 golfers. There is a cut, though, for some reason. I was saying this before, Cam. 50 in ties and within 10 shots of the lead. Just keep everyone around all week. You got 70 guys there. Just keep them all around till Sunday instead of just messing with everybody. And we have a heavy hitter list to go with Tiger, who's in the field for the first time since last year's Masters. Scheffler, Rory, Hovland, Schauffele, JT, Morikawa, Hubert, Cantlay, Spieth. They're all there this week, Cam.
Great field. You said it. You know, everybody should just play. It should be a no-cut event. What's the purpose of gassing just a few guys? But here's the deal. We've talked about all pooches winning this year. Every single guy is a 300-1, 400-1, 500-1. It's just been madness to start the PGA Tour season. But at this course, I think the cream will rise to the top, Carver. And looking at our cards, we like a lot of guys, not necessarily real top, but in the chalk section.
I mean, I just give me somebody under 50 this week. Like, can somebody under 50 finally win? Forget 100. Under 50. I mean, give us a little something here with this big field. All right, Cam, here's where I'm going for the outrights. Max Homa, he loves this track. Second last year, a first 3 years ago, some unbelievable finishes. He's actually even moved down, Cam. I got this 18. He's moved down a little bit. I've seen some 20 and 22s. For him out there. I even got him boosted up a little bit in the mid-20s, but I like him at the top. I like Ludvig Hoberg in there at 20-1. I got JT, the Monday morning 7 a.m. check at 22-1. He's now down to 16. Cameron Forever Young at 35-1. I'm going back to Canada with Corey Connors, 100-1. I think this is a really good track for him. You don't have to be a bomber at this place. And Tom Hoagie Sandwich Cam, 120-1. Let's be fair. He's played well in every tournament so far this year. Got a bunch of top 20 finishes. Been hanging around on Sundays. We love Tom Hoagie on Coast to Coast.
Yeah, we love a Hoagie sandwich. I'm going to tell you, one of these weeks, he's actually going to win. So it's kind of like my Eric Cole stuff. I just got to keep on doing it. Like, I'm too invested now. It's like, Carver, it's like a 50-year-old marriage. You know, it's falling. Honey, I'll stay with you till the end because I know bad things are going to happen if we get a divorce. Let's take a look at my schedule here. And I got a couple of the same guys. We got Hoberg, whatever the heck he's calling himself now. I don't care. He's from Sweden and he went to Texas Tech. Colin Morikawa, you've made my card. Last two events here, second, sixth. Good enough for me. Improve your form. Hit a couple putts. You'll be there. Adam Scott, great track record here. You want to talk about a guy who hits it straight? Love it. We got a Matthew Fitzpatrick sighting. Oh, boy. Will Zalatoris got to take cool, smooth Willie Z at 55-1. And my Canadian, the Prime Minister anoints Adam Svensson the Canuck of choice, 150-1, played really well in this tournament before. I think Canadians will do good again this week. I wouldn't even be shocked if Taylor had another good week.
I've got Svensson on my card as well in a little bit, Cam. So trust me, I've got Adam Svensson involved one way or the other. Here's for me the top 10s, 20s, and 30s. Rory, I think, is going to play a lot better than he played at Pebble a couple weeks ago. Top 10 for him is plus 110. You mentioned Adam Scott. Incredible course history here at the Genesis Invitational, plus 250 for a top 10. I love the way Tagala's playing right now. He couldn't quite get home for us last week, but still, he's been hitting the ball top 20 for plus 120. Willie Z, I'll probably join you, Cam, in going the whole way with him by tomorrow morning and grab one of his numbers. I'm still nervous, but a little bit of improvement from him and great history at this joint. Top 20 at plus 160. Corey Connors, I'll back up the outright with a top 30 at plus 105. And listen, Cam, Tiger's playing. I never want to bet Tiger to win or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But a top 30 with 70 golfers in the field. He looked great. I know it's just a practice round, but he was hitting bombs yesterday. I'll have a little – this is like a fun bet, Cam, that I'm going to make with the top 30 with Tiger.
The thing is, this course isn't too long, and hopefully Tiger doesn't have to do too much walking. That's the thing. Like, these 7,700-yard beasts are absolutely going to kill him, but Tiger still has the strength. He's in rehab. But you know what? You're right, Carver. Top 30 is the way to play it. I'm with you. I think Rory McIlroy could win. I don't want him, but I want him a top 10 to plus 110. I like the Iceberg, plus 185. This guy is on fire every week. Max Homa, wanted a little bit more. You got a price. I will take him for a top 10. You see the trend here, Carver? I'm a top 10 machine. And Patrick Cantlay, the Californian, I think there's a lot of good numbers there with the top 10s. Now for 20s, give me Willis Zalatoris, plus 130. Adam Svensson, plus 130 for a top 30. And old man Kuchar. He plays well here. Watch out for Kuchar. Watch out for Cooch. He's still. I would not be shocked if Matt Kuchar was actually on page one of the leaderboard come Sunday. But I don't think he'll win. But I like the top 30.
Cooch getting involved this weekend out in Los Angeles. First round leader bombs for me. It's tough for bombs this weekend because only 70 golfers. We don't have our usual full field with some really juicy numbers. But here's what I was able to scrape together. Maybe Willie Z comes out hot, Cam. Can we get a little Willie Z 40-1? First round leader right out of the gate here on Thursday. Corey Connors, 55. Harry English with a couple great rounds to finish off the Waste Management last week at 55. There's Adam Svensson for me, Cam, because he loves the first round. He is a Thursday warrior. 65-1 for that. Alex Smalley and Riders on the Storm. Sam Ryder. Why? Because they're the two guys at 90, and there's really nobody else after them, and I need some kind of 90-1 juice for the first-round leader after last week, Cam.
Yeah, you know what it is, Carver? I think it's a great number on Harris English, too. He's been playing really well lately. Here's mine. Rory McIlroy's on, like, 10 to tournament, round one, 20-1. I've been watching him in the European Tour. He's leading after every time. That's actually a good number for Rory. Bo Hostler, out of the gate. He's a Thursday-Friday warrior, 55. Patrick Rogers, California kid, 75. I found Svensson at 80 on one of my books for first-round leader. Had to jump. Ooh. Matt Kuchar, early starts before he fades. And another Canadian. I got two-pack. No doubt about it. Two hosers with Mackenzie Hughes. Let's go.
We love Mack Hughes. That's a great number, 110. I saw 80 this morning. That's why I didn't put him on the card. But 110 for Mack Hughes is outstanding. Cam, let's cash a bunch of tickets in L.A. this week. We're leaving the West Coast next week. We're going to Mexico next week, Cam. The Tony Finau Invitational. We'll talk about it next week here. Good luck, Cam. Cam Stewart, we're back. Coast to coast right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty, SportsGrid, SportsGrid Radio. Great to have you with us. Great to have back. Of course, we have him every day. And he's been doing planes, trains, and automobiles to get home after the Super Bowl. Is Gabe Morenci, of course, Sports Rage Late Night every weeknight, 10 p.m. East, right here on the grid. So it's good to have Gabe back with us. Gabe, we'll get into all the sports stuff. How was the travel? How was it? Vegas, New Jersey, back home. It's been a long couple of days.
I got to tell you what. It's been a long couple of days. Las Vegas was cold. Then I get to New York, and the weather was nice. And then right out of the blue, of course, they have their biggest snowstorm in 3 years. I wasn't sure I was going to be able to get out yesterday. So I was staying positive, and everything worked out. The roads were clear. The snowstorm stopped. And to be honest, Carver, like, let's be real. Like, they shut the schools down, bro. You know what it was like yesterday in New York? An average Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Canada. But like Montreal used to grow up with like 10 feet of snow. They didn't shut anything down and be like, yeah, there's snow. Like this.
I'm not gonna lie. I was stunned.
Yeah, like the workers. I know you have kids, closed.
They closed my kid's school Monday night at 9 o'clock. Like, and I was like, what? Like this? That is rare for them. Like I thought I was expecting like 2 feet of snow. The way that they did that, I could have got them to school yesterday morning. Come on.
Yeah, the hotel staff was upset. I rolled in. I did Sports Rage, and that was interesting. First things first, I'd never been to Bellworks before, bro. I thought I was walking into like, I thought I wasn't leaving. It looks like some sort of facility where they're doing like testing on people or something. It's like, you know, the show Severance was filmed there. I'm not surprised. So yeah. You know, you pull in, it's this massive complex. So I'm rolling out of their coverage. It's 1:30 in the morning, right? Uber drivers are freaked out. They're like, what the hell is this place? What's going on here? Then I roll. It's like a secret government project standing, you know, meet me by that big telescope tower thing. So I come out, I roll in, and the buddy had the local radio on, like the Uber, and said, all the schools are closed. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm doomed. Like when you hear that, Carver, right? I'm like, I got a flight tomorrow. You know, too. New York airports aren't good when it's nice out. Like Newark, no. LaGuardia, you can't win. Like either way, it's like, oh man, I always get delayed at Newark even when it's sunny out.
I think because I think Long Island got it worse. You were lucky you were at Newark. If you would have been at JFK, I don't think you would have got home. I don't think you would have got out if you were on the other side of the river.
That pocket didn't get hit as hard. But I rolled into the hotel, and they're not used to people coming in at 2 a.m, especially people like me, right? So I roll in, I see the staff. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? The guy's cool. I start talking. I'm like, man, this snowstorm, they're closing schools. He's like, what? They're closing schools? He's got to call the wife. It's the middle of the night. He's like, I bet you it's going to be all for nothing. So, you know, you're not alone. But everything ended up working out in the end. And we're back on the West Coast now, ready to rock.
Ready to rock. We've obviously spent days and days here diagnosing and talking about this game. But there actually was a little fallout, really, within the last 20 minutes of the Super Bowl, the Chiefs beating the Niners on Sunday. And that is the Niners and Kyle Shanahan chopped Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator. So he did a press conference yesterday with Lynch, Gabe. I'm sure you didn't see it in your travels, where he was like, they asked him about Wilks. He said, no, you know, we expect to have him back. We expect to have this. And then 24 hours later, chopped right out the door.
Listen, I'm not going to say there weren't some inconsistencies with the defense and some flaws, but defense played pretty well in that Super Bowl. Like, there's only so many times you're going to stop. Like, imagine if you fired a defensive coordinator every time sometime you lost to Mahomes, bro, in overtime. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. If this was something that was building, fine. But let's just look back on this. And as you say, this game's been dissected, and I don't want to see Mahomes or Kelce or Kansas City logo. Like, I saw the parade. I'm looking the other way. It'd be nice. I just thought, man, it'd be nice to see Josh Allen getting wasted on, you know, Chippewa Street right now, right? But as far as the Super Bowl is concerned, to me, Kyle Shanahan cost the San Francisco 49ers that game. Like, the head coach.
I agree.
Sort of like McDermott with us, bro. He does it in different ways. McDermott does it. All the little decisions, Carver, during the game, bro, they add up. Was it Steve Wilks? Let me ask. Is it Steve Wilks that's in charge of calling offensive plays in the third quarter when you ran 9 plays, didn't get a first down, and ran 8 pass plays and 1 rush? So let me just clarify that. Steve Wilks called that, right, Kyle? That was Steve Wilks' decision, right? It was Steve Wilks' decision, I guess, too. He's a defensive coordinator. He has all the power. It was his decision for you to waste 2 timeouts and let the Chiefs eat the end of the first half up after your kicker just made a 55-yard field goal. You could have gotten the ball back and got the 3 back. That was Steve Wilks, I guess. Right, Kyle? I guess it was Steve Wilks that didn't tell the team before the overtime rules. Right, Kyle? I guess it was Steve Wilks' decision to take the ball first and give Mahomes an extra damn down. I guess that was his decision. Right, Kyle? It's some Bush League stuff, bro. Kyle Shanahan caused him that game, not Steve Wilks.
No doubt, especially when you think about it this way. The first 9 possessions that the Chiefs had in that game on Sunday, Gabe, punt, punt, turnover, punt, field goal, turnover, punt,
yeah, Carver, that's
field
up to the offense
punt.
To put some points up on the board and get a lead.
How
you had a 10-3
lead
after everything they did only.
With all that. That's just – and then even after they give up the touchdown with the turnover on specials, they still punt, field goal. You know, they weren't giving up.
Point.
They didn't give up 56 points in
this
game.
That's a good point, Carl. You know, and another touchdown was gifted on the 10-yard line. Like, what do you want the defense to do? The defense balled, bro. Like, I just saw this. I'm like, this is some weak-ass stuff. But all right. I guarantee you there's guys in the room. I guarantee you there's guys on the team thinking, this is some BS, bro, what you just did to this dude.
Yeah, that's a bad job all around. Unless maybe they didn't like each other, too. Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm sure there's some stuff off the field that stuff goes down as well. So there you go with that. How about NBA tonight, Gabe? This is the last good night of NBA for like a week. There's only three games tomorrow night. Then you got a week-long All-Star break before next Thursday they get back at it. So we got a full slate tonight, including Siakam going back to Toronto for the first time since the trade.
You know, Carver, I'm pretty loyal. I'm extremely loyal to the Raptors to the point that I don't like betting against them. I don't bet the game. I ignore them. You know what I mean? But we're at the point right now where you're just leaving money on the table. Like, let's just call it out for what it is. The Raptors are a bad basketball team. They have a new lineup every night. It's a complete train wreck, this basketball team. And Siakam's going to want this game, bro. All right? Like, he's going to want it. And Siakam had an interesting relationship with Toronto, Carver. Like, everybody complained that they didn't get enough for him on the way out. The same jackasses that criticized him every night for the last 6 years. Right? He didn't get along with Nick Nurse. That's why I was so stupid when, Philadelphia. That's it. Like, they don't even like each other, Nurse and Siakam. So Siakam had a weird relationship with the players. You'll notice even the league, other players in the league, he's not an all-star, right? You know what I mean? He's a unique dude. He's not part of the clique in the NBA. But it was interesting. He came back to Toronto today. He talked about loving the city. He really does. Like, he's got community stuff, and he's got business initiatives, and, like, he really does a lot in Toronto. So he talked about, you know, it's my home. I love this city. Then he went on just that little... But it's nice to sort of, like, really be wanted and really be supported and, you know, kind of feel like I'm the guy. And he was like, could not be treated any better. And it was really shots at Toronto all the time because what do they do? They traded him because they said, we think Scotty Barnes should be the guy, not you, right? He's bringing it tonight, all right? His prop is 22.5. We're going to go over the 22.5. And I think the Pacer players, number one, the Pacers are better than the Raptors. And the Pacer players are going to want to step up for Siakam going back, with his hometown game. That's how it works. Give me the Pacers tonight, bro. I'll money line it just in case it's close. I'll go over the 245 here in this game. And I'm going to go with Siakam over 22.5 points. And on the back end, the Warriors are balling right now. They're a fun basketball team. I don't know if I want to be laying three. I'm going to wait till, you know, the final lineup here with as far as the Clippers are concerned. But you look at the Clippers and how well they've played. I'm looking right now and I don't see their full lineup. So if we're getting close to everybody, I'll be looking at the Clippers plus the points here tonight, and what should be a really, really fun basketball game going into the break here, Carver. The West is like lit right now.
The West is lit. I have Kawhi out. So no Kawhi tonight. It looks like Harden, George are both good to go, but no Kawhi, Gabe. That's the only thing I have. One more thing about tonight I want to ask you. 2 weeks ago, going into the NHL All-Star break, we saw all those teams really just looking to get out of town, and they were unders those last two or three days before the NHL break. Tonight, same deal in the NBA. Mostly everybody's done for a week after tonight. Are we going to see maybe guys just looking to get out of town? It's kind of a different game. We know that. You know, you still got to score. You're going to shoot the basketball. If it goes in, it goes in. Do we look for unders tonight, Gabe, with everybody looking to get out of town?
I don't think so. I think the NBA culture, the way it is score, 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 baby. That's how you make money, Carver. Nobody gets paid playing
maybe
defense.
Maybe no defense tonight because guys are like, let's just get out of here.
Like, whatever,
that,
dude.
That could be the play tonight.
No, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, listen, dude, I mean, this Instagram model in Houston,
beach,
like in 36 hours.
I got Tim Hortons around the corner here.
Let's go. Someone else is like, man, I'm going to pickleball tournament in Bahamas in 3 days. I ain't twisting my ankle now.
Gabe, we'll see you tonight. Sports Grid Late Night,
10 p.m.
on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid, Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today, every day. We have Davis Maddock with us, of course, Fantasy Sports Today, Saturday mornings right here on the grid and every day on Coast to Coast. Davis, good to see you as always, my man. I do have to start with this just because this just happened too. So we've had a lot of breaking news stuff. I said earlier in the show the Chiefs were having their victory parade today in Kansas City, and unfortunately, sadly, they got problems there. Now the parade ended, I believe, and they were at Union Station is where the parade ended. That's where they all got up on stage. Everybody had the microphone, Kelce, Mahomes, etc. And moments after, several people shot at the parade. Kansas City fire chief says there could be as many as 10 victims. Police say 2 people have been detained. Several people could be seen loaded into ambulances. Obviously, there were tens of thousands of people lined up on the parade route by that Union Station where they were used as the main stage. Davis, it's amazing. The sad part is, Davis, is that this ain't the first time, and unfortunately probably won't be the last time we do something like this, because it's just all too often now. I mean, Gabe was on the break when we were talking about this. I mean, this something similar happened at the Toronto parade after the Raptors won. It's just people just can't enjoy themselves and have a good time. It always has to end in misery at some point. It just absolutely sucks, Davis. It really does.
It really does. I mean, look, I think, Carver, we've kind of all had this feeling. I don't know, maybe this is just me because I'm kind of an anxious person, but I kind of always have this feeling, right? I go to a concert, I'm going to a Chiefs game. You're just in an area where you're there with 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 other people. I went to a college football game this year. I went to a Sooners game. And I was like, there's just so many people here. There's people, you go out of the stadium, there's people as far as your eye can see. You can't, it's just like, it's kind of overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming because there are so many people, but it's also overwhelming because you know where the bad things tend to happen. It's in huge groups of people like that, and there's just such a mitigating factor. And it's you know, obviously it's such a bummer that one of these events, like a championship parade in Toronto, in Kansas City, wherever, like where there's actually a sense for the whole city to be unified in something, which, I mean, think about it, it just like doesn't really happen all that often. Might never happen. You know, it was 50 years between Chiefs Super Bowl victories before things started coming together. Like, it's just honestly, it's just like it's heartbreaking. It just doesn't make you feel that proud to be from somewhere.
It sucks. It just it like you say, when you have that many people around, first of all, you can't go anywhere anymore. Like you say, you can't go anywhere anymore, especially when there's going to be that amount of people. Because of fear of something like this, because it has happened all too often now. And when you have that many people around, it's almost impossible that there isn't a jackass lurking at some corner somewhere who's going to do something like this. It's just sad that that's where we are now at this point. Back to other stuff, Davis, on the field. And we were just mentioning other breaking news stuff is about Wilkes. Now, I laid this out for Gabe a few minutes ago. And we talked about the game yesterday. We talked about this plenty. But to fire the DC, I got a feeling, Davis, that this is more than just Sunday. I think a lot of people will probably just go on and they'll go, oh, you're blaming him for the loss on Sunday? It felt during the year that there was a little bit of disconnect with Wilkes and Kyle Shanahan. When they had their down period, remember when they lost to, like, Cleveland and Minnesota in, like, November? Yep. Like they had those couple weeks where they weren't playing well. They had a little disconnect. Remember they moved him from the booth to the sideline or the sideline to the booth, whatever they did there. So there was probably more to this than just Sunday, because it's hard to pin it on him, especially when the first 9 drives of the game, punt, punt, turnover, punt, field goal, turnover, punt, field goal, punt, the first 9 drives of the game, and you're the defensive coordinator. That's pretty tough to get whacked after that.
I mean, the 49ers defense was pretty much keeping them in it. The offense only scored 10 points, only ended up scoring 19 points in regulation, 22 points overall. That was lower than their season average. 19 points is right in line with what the Chiefs defense was allowing to opposing teams. So it really was, I mean, it really was their defense that was doing it. So often you end up finding out 10 years down the line, you know, this guy was pretty good at his job. Why is it that the organization moved on from him? Huh, these guys just didn't really like each other. You know, Steve Wilkes and Kyle Shanahan probably were just not a good personality fit. Why in the middle of the season did Sean McDermott win the Bills offense? I mean, sure, the wins and losses weren't great, but the Bills offense was fine. I mean, it wasn't the best offense in the world, but it was fine. Josh Allen was playing well. Why'd you fire Ken Dorsey? Just doesn't really like Ken Dorsey, man, which is okay. Like, that is well within your right if you're the coach and that's what you want to do and it's your job and it's going to be distracting. You're not going to be able to have the team perform to the best of their ability. I think that's pretty fine. And Steve Wilkes is, I don't think, going to struggle for work in general based off that performance. Actually, you could argue that he might have just done Steve Wilkes a favor, because maybe he doesn't get a job this year. Maybe he has to go work, or maybe he has to go be an assistant coach somewhere, or maybe he does TV for a year or whatever. But the total points allowed by Steve Wilkes' defense the last 3 years before this, head coach for the Cardinals, they gave up the 26th most points. Defensive coordinator for the Browns, 20th most points. And then Carolina, they gave up the 19th most points. He just put the best defensive season of his resume down this most recent year. So you get into interviews maybe next offseason and it comes back around and all of a sudden maybe Steve Wilkes will end up being another defensive coordinator in a good spot, getting paid good money. Like, this could be, and I had a crazy idea. I want to throw this one out to you. You think there's a chance that Kyle picks up the phone, calls Bill Belichick and says, hey man, you want to come out here? Sunshine, West Coast, good team. Good defense. You get a coach, you know, Joey Bosa and all these boys. You want to come call plays for my defense for a year?
You know, I mean, I guess you make the call. I don't see how you could do that if you're Bill Belichick. We're having a hard enough time grasp, like, Chip Kelly not being a head coach and going to be an offensive coordinator in college in the same level. When you're that much of a legend, I don't think so, Davis. I don't think that may. I guess you maybe have to at least pick up the phone, but I got a feeling that you're probably not going to get the answer that you're looking for on the other side.
Well, here's my thinking. Here's my thinking on it is, doesn't have a head coaching job this year anyway, right? So he's not going to – the reason why Belichick wants to keep coaching is so that he can get the Shula record, I think. So you're not coaching this year anyways. The head coaching jobs, they're all filled. So it's either you're taking the year off or you take one of these coordinator jobs, and it's a pretty good coordinator job.
It's a pretty good job, and I'm interested to see where they're going to go now for that, because you're pretty late. I mean, we're not late in the process. The process is over. Like, everyone's hired. Like, even all the new coaches have hired all of their assistants, their top assistants. Where do you go? I guess probably somebody who's already on the staff, right, Davis? That's like the easiest thing to do, is you take somebody who's been there and you just elevate them to that position. Probably someone who was there even before Wilkes, that hung around, who's friends with Kyle. I'm guessing that's probably going to be the area they go, if your scenario, of course, doesn't come to fruition.
It's definitely possible. Also, I'm just checking on another thing right here. I'm wondering who the Texans defensive coordinator is. Okay, Matt Burke is the Texans defensive coordinator. I'm wondering if you go to a guy who is in the tree of your former defensive coordinator, who you had so much success with in DeMeco Ryans. I'm wondering if you maybe try and poach one of his guys. So it looks like he was with Miami before. He's been a defensive line coach, so maybe he's not even the right guy. But I'm just kind of thinking out loud, like, you need a defensive coordinator. You probably don't want this veteran defense that's been together for a long time. You know, most of these guys have actually been there together since that 2020 Super Bowl run. I mean, and again, I'm not a total ball knower with the defensive side of the game, But you probably don't want to institute a whole new scheme with these guys. The scheme they have is pretty good. You probably want to try and keep things on the same path.
If the Jets were smart, Robert Saleh would have been available to go back there. But the Jets aren't smart. So that's what if the Jets were smart, he would be available. But they're going to keep running it back with him this year along with Aaron. Tonight, Davis, is the last big night of NBA for about a week. Of course, there's only three games tomorrow. All-Star weekend coming up, and then all the players are off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so they don't have a full slate again until next Thursday. 13 games tonight. Something has to catch your eye.
Couple things are catching my eye here. I like the 76ers on the spread. That is one of the first spots that really leapt out to me. They're just playing like pretty competitive basketball here without Joel Embiid. So I like these spots where maybe they are dogs a little bit, especially road dogs. It feels like a pretty good one. They're home favorites here against the Heat tonight. The Zombie Heat, man. I know they got it done last night, but that is a team that is about as thin as it's going to get. Playing on the second night of a back-to-back. Nikola Jovic, not Jokic, Jovic played 32 minutes starting at power forward for them last night. That was one of them. And then my favorite play tonight, I don't think I have of gold star played the San Antonio Spurs yet this year, Carver, but we got them plus 11 points against the Dallas Mavericks. Honestly, I think Wembanyama is like a terrible matchup for the Mavericks because Derek Lively is injured right now, probably not going to play, although he did get listed as questionable, so we'll see if he goes. It doesn't really matter to me either way, but Kleba, Powell, you know, they play like they have some of the smallest lineups in the NBA, and Wembanyama is dude, he is like, I think he actually might end up winning Rookie of the Year, even though Chet's been so good for a playoff team. Like, he's just that good.
The odds have reflected that, because you had those 2 months where it was like neck and neck, and I was looking at it earlier, Davis, and now Wemby's gone to minus 600 and Chet's 5-1. So the gap's getting wide. I love watching him. I think it's great, but in terms of betting on him, I can't handle the swings with him, Davis. Like, because there's nights like the other night where it's a triple-double with 10 blocks, and he hits four threes, and he does all this. And then you go back, and you're like, all right, maybe he's going to stay hot like this. And you go and you play his threes, or you play his blocks. And then he ends up with 14, nine boards, one three, and three blocks. Like, it's just, there's the highs and the lows I can't handle.
I mean, look, I totally get it. And it's just totally reflected in how the Spurs – their record has just not gotten any better despite having this phenomenal guy on their team. And also, the dude's like 18 years old and he weighs like the same amount I do, and he's 7'4". It's like, can we get this dude some protein powder? Can we get him eating some American red meat? We got to get some meat on this guy's bones.
30 seconds left, Davis. It is Golf Wednesdays on C2C. Do you have a pick for the Genesis with Tiger in the field this week?
You know what? I'm going to go anti-brand. I never pick this guy. I'm picking Spieth. I actually am going to be on Jordan Spieth this week. He showed me enough last week. Like, he just is – it's kind of vintage Spieth, yelling at the ball, making the putts. Like, I am in on Jordan this week.
Good prices, too. I've seen 28s and 30s for Spieth still out there as we get ready for tomorrow. Davis, tremendous job. As always, we'll see you back here tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Davis Maddock, Fantasy Sports Today. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio. Great to have everybody with us here today. So just getting back to this, so they have, they're still trying to find what's, they do have the two people in custody for. Ooh, I didn't realize we have Mish video today. How about that? My fault, Mafia. Craig Mish this morning on the early line. Let's go to it. What a bad job by me.
So Lair's contract, 3 years, $42 million, is, you know, a little bit more than what the Marlins gave him a couple of years ago before he opted out because of the state tax. Kind of the same with the contract that he got from the Marlins and the one that he got from the Giants. Look, I think San Francisco at this point, with all of the attempts to sign all these players, still would like to field a competitive team if possible. Of course, they have a new manager. Farhan Zaidi still running the show there, but they're under some pressure to win at this point, and it's going to take a lot more, I think, than just Soler to get that done. But naturally, it's a good fit for that team. They really haven't had a major power hitter since Barry Bonds there. This guy Soler is going to be the biggest impact power bat, I think, since that's been the case. So I think he's got a chance to hit 30 or 40. Health has always been the key with Soler. Got to keep him on the field and keep him off, actually, the field in the outfield. Probably put him at DH is what I would do the rest of the entire season.
There is Craig Mish, of course, from this morning. He's with Donnie and Davis on the early line talking about Jorge Soler going to the San Francisco Giants. Soler was a very big part of Miami making the playoffs last year. We know that the Giants have been looking for some big bats. When Soler is healthy and focused, I mean, he can rake more than anyone else out, just about as good as anyone else out there. That is a very good pickup for the Giants, and you know that he can do it in October. So if you can get there, he's a guy that can absolutely make it happen. All right, Farrell Coast to Coast here on a Wednesday. Carver High in for Scotty. We got a couple more hours to go. Plenty to do. A lot of NBA in hour two, including the lion's share with Coach. We're back on the grid right after this.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino.